Parshas Ki Savo, one of the first mitzvahs that we learn about is the mitzvah of Havaas Bikurim. So as we know, there's a whole procession that takes place, and the farmer has to bring the first fruits to the Beis Hamikdash, and the Pasuk tells us, Uvasa el HaKohen asher yiyah bayamim haheim, and the Gemara is troubled. What does it mean? You come to the Kohen that will be there in those days? Did I think that I should go to a Kohen that's no longer alive? Do I think I can go to the grave of a Kohen and present him the Bikurim? That obviously is not what it means. So how can the Pasuk tell us, Uvasa el HaKohen asher yihyeh bayamim ahem, that one has to present the Bikurim to the Kohen that is alive in those days? So Rashi there comments from the Sifri, asher yihyeh bayamim ahem, what does it mean? Ein lecha el HaKohen shebiyamecha. It means that you're supposed to give it to the Kohen that is alive in your days, kemoshehu, exactly the way he is. So that's still not really understandable. What does it mean, I should give it to a Kohen who is alive today? Of course I have to give it kemoshehu, the way he is. There's a story told about Rav Meir Shapiro. He was traveling around in his generation to go and collect money for the new yeshiva, Chachmei Lublin, that he was trying to create. So he came once to the home of the Chafetz Chaim. He was in Radin collecting money. He went to visit the Chafetz Chaim. And he went to the Chafetz Chaim and he suggested that the Chafetz Chaim tell him some new chiddush that he has in Torah. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, I'm not feeling well. I'm not up to it. I don't think that I should be presenting a Dvar Torah to you, to Rav Meir Shapiro. So Rav Meir Shapiro said, it says in our Parsha, Uvasa l'koin asher yir bayam mahim. Rashi says, kemoshehu, the Chafetz Chaim not feeling well, the Kohen HaGadol is good enough, kemoshehu. You can say your Dvar Torah just the way you are, even though you're not feeling well, it's good enough. But obviously that's not what Rashi means. So what does it mean, kemoshehu? The Ramban on our Parsha already asked the question, what does it mean, kemoshehu? Says the Ramban, Lo havinosize, I don't understand what Rashi's talking about. Why does Rashi say you should bring it to the Kohen Ashehiyah Bayamim Ahim Kemoshehu, the way he is? Of course you have to give it to him. So he contrasted to another place. We have in Parsha Shoftim where the Torah says, Uvasa la Shoved Ashehiyah Bayamim Ahim, where we're told that you have to present a Shaila if you have some major question. Ki Polimim Chadavar la Mishpat, so you have to present the question to the Shofet Ashehiyah Bayamim Ahim, says the Ramban. And there we are taught that Afal Pisha Eino Gadol, even though he's not as great as Rabbi Kiva Eger, as the Chassam Sofer, as Moshe Rabbeinu, but still you should present the Shaila to that Talmud Chacham of your generation. So he says over there it makes sense to say Asher Yia Bayamim Ahem, that even though you think that his authority is not as great as the authority of Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Vilna Gaon and the Chassam Sofer, but still, since he's living Bayamim Ahem, he has the authority of your generation and he should be listened to. But how do you translate that to what it means when we're talking about a Kohen serving the Beis Hamikdash? Just because he's not on the level of Aaron HaKohen, therefore we shouldn't present him to Bikurim? What's the difference? So that's the question that the Ramban asks, and therefore the Ramban comes to a different conclusion. He says, what does our Pasuk mean when it says, you should present the Bikurim to the Kohen Ashiyah by Yama Mahem? So he says what it means is based on a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Samach Vav, where the Gemara tells us, what if I presented the Bikurim to a Kohen, very innocently, I come to the Beis Hamikdash, the first Kohen I find, I give him the Bikurim, and then we find out later that this Kohen is a Chalal, and we find out that there's something wrong with him, and he is not really a Kohen. So do I have to go ahead and assume that my Bikurim that I presented, I have not fulfilled my mitzvah? There says the Ramban, that's what it means. Asher yiyah bayamim ahem, you presented the Kohen that is there in the Beis Hamikdash on that day. Doesn't matter if later on it turns out that he's not really a Kohen, he was a Chalal, and you shouldn't have given it to him, but you have performed your mitzvah. That's what the Torah teaches us here. Asher yiyah bayamim ahem. That's the way the Ramban explains our pasuk here. Now, what is the general halacha when you have a Kohen who later on finds out that he was not supposed to be doing avod in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Rambam addresses the issue. The Rambam in Hilchas Bias Migdash discusses what happens when you have a Kohen she'avad v'nivdak. You have a Kohen who does avod in the Beis Hamikdash, and then later on we look into him, and we find out v'nimtzachala, we find out that he really was not fitting to serve in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Rambam says, Avodasuk Sheru L'Sha'avar. We don't go back in time and say, oh, you brought a carbon chatas and he was the one who shechted the carbon, therefore you have to go and bring another one. You have to go back and think about all the things that you did with this coin and now go back and do it again. No, we have a pasuk that teaches us, Ufal Yadav Tirtza, based on a Gemara in Makos, that even if the coin later on turns out that he was not really worthy of serving the Beis Hamikdash, we keep whatever it is that he did, we assume that all of them are valid, and they don't have to go back and do them again. The Kesef Mishnah points out that the Rambam even means to say, after he finds out, after they investigate, and they find out that he wasn't fitting to serve in the Beis Hamikdash, and he continues to serve anyway, against Halacha, he's not supposed to, but he continues to serve, the Rambam would say, even in that case, even if he continues to serve after we find out that he's not allowed to, but he does it anyway, still, if you brought a carbon and you give it to that coin, it's good enough. That's the Chiddush that the Rambam discusses, based on the Gemara in Makkos. And again, there's a discussion in the Achronim, how far do we take that? So do we say it only applies to Karbanos, it's a special Xeris HaKasev by Bikurim and by Karbanos, or do we say it applies to other things as well? So let's say, for example, the Pischei Tshuva and Yarudea has by Ilchus Pidin HaBen. What happens if I'm a Yisrael, I have a firstborn child, and I go and I do a Pidin HaBen with somebody who I assume is a Kohen, and now later on we find out that this person was not at all a Kohen, which is very probable in our generation because we don't really have a Shtar Yuchsin, we don't really know who is a bona fide Kohen going back so many generations. So what do I do? If I find out later on that this Kohen was a Chalal, do I assume that the same way by Karbanos we say that as long as you gave it to the Kohen who was assumed to be a Kohen, that's good enough, should that carry over as well to other areas of Kuhuna? For example, giving the money for the Pidin HaBen, or the Achronim talk about what if the Kohen ate my truma that I gave him, should I assume that I've been in performance of my mitzvah, or do you say no, this is only a halacha that's specific to Hakravas HaKarbanos and the Beis HaMikdash, and we do not apply it to other areas as well? That's a very interesting discussion, which has a lot of ramification, halacha l'maisa, nowadays when we discuss what the status of our Kahanim are as well. But what's interesting to me is that the Ramban here raises the pasuk from Parsha Shoftim. And the Ramban tells us that we have a pasuk that teaches Uvasa el Kohen Asher Yia Bayam Mahem, that the Sefri there tells us that Ein Lecha El Shofet Shebiyamecha. It doesn't matter how great of a Talmud Chacham you used to know, and it doesn't matter, so many Talmidim in my father's generation are still living in the generation of Rav Soloveitchik, and they say that since he passed away, we can't listen to anybody, because there was somebody who was so great in our generation, and ever since his passing, we can't move on, we can't ask a shayla to anyone. I know a lot of my father's contemporaries speak like that, that since his passing, there's nobody that they have in the world who they can consult with, and there's nobody they can speak to. That's a wrong attitude. That's what Rashi says. Ein lecha l'shofet shebiyamecha. You may have known somebody who was a touch of greatness. You may have known somebody who was an amazing personality, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but each generation has dar dar v'chachamav. That's what the Medrash writes. Al tomar, don't say, ilu haya Rabbi Kiva kayam. If Rabbi Kiva was alive today, hayisi yoshev v'shona lefanav. Of course I would be a Talmud Chacham. I would go to Rabbi Kiva's yeshiva, I would quit my job, and I would go learn by him. But now that all I have is left is, come on, we're so many generations down from Rabbi Kiva, all I have is Shai Shechter sitting here giving a shir. Why should I come listen to him? He's nothing like the greats that we used to have. Why should we listen to him? Says the Medrash, it's wrong. Because Ein Lecha El Shofet Shebiyamecha, every generation has its own personalities, its own people that relate to them, and that's something that each generation has to understand. Is it's not a zilzal in the Kavodat Torah to go and listen to the Talmud Chacham of that generation, because that's the way the system was set up. The Sefer HaChinuch writes on the Pasuk, Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that we have an obligation to follow the Torah Asher Yerucha, to listen to the Nevi'im. Sefer HaChinuch writes, what if I live in a time when there are no Nevi'im? So does this mitzvah now fall away? Do I assume we have no mitzvah anymore? Al Pi HaTorah Asher Yerucha. Sefer HaChinuch writes, no. That even at a time when there are no Nevi'im, it trickles down to the Chachamim of the Zman. That the Chachamim of each generation have an obligation to teach the Torah the way they understand it, even though our understanding is nothing close to the understanding that the Rashban, the Ritvan, the Ramban, and Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Vilna Gaon had, but we try our best to do and understand the Torah that we learn, and the obligation of the generation is to try and accept the Torah, even though they may have known people who are greater than the Talmid HaChacham who are alive today. There's an amazing letter that the Shem Yishmuel wrote to his son-in-law. One year around Yom Kippur time, the son-in-law of the Shem Yishmuel, Shem Yishmuel was the son of the Avnei Nezer, so the son-in-law was the grandson of the Avnei Nezer. So the son-in-law was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, he was a big tzaddik, but he was very sick one year before Yom Kippur, and he was very uncomfortable about the fact that he wasn't going to be able to fast, and he wanted to fast anyway, even though it may have made him more sick. So the Shem Yishmuel penned him a famous letter before Yom Kippur about what his feelings should be this year when he's not going to be able to fast. And he writes the following, U'betach zachar tizkar mashekvar shamata mimeni harbi pa'amim. You certainly know, you've been at my Shabbos table for many years. You know what I talk about at the Shabbos table. She'ikar hayadus. Again, this is what the Shem Yishmuel used to talk about. It's not what we talk about at the Shabbos table, but he says, what I always spoke about was that ikar hayadus, the most fundamental principle of Judaism is, lios ha'adam vata ledas ha'tar v'chachameh, that a person has to submit themselves to what the Torah dictates, what the Torah mandates of them and expects of them, and the way the Chachamim interpret what the restrictions and what the expectation of the Torah is. And he says we have this obligation to follow the Torah. And therefore, don't feel bad that you're not going to fast on Yom Kippur. because you got a psak from a rav, a competent posek who told you that you shouldn't be fasting this year because it's a danger to your health, im harofi tziva shelo latzim, and the rabbi went along with the doctor and said, yes, you should not be fasting this year, hushava yoser me'ikar hatzom, says the Shem Yishmuel. That is greater than fasting itself. Because the Torah is not given in a bubble. The Torah wasn't given a few thousand years ago. It didn't stop there. The Torah was meant to be interpreted by the Chachmei HaDor of each generation. And therefore, if the Chachmei HaDor that you asked your Shiloh to told you that this year you shouldn't fast, don't feel uncomfortable about it, because that's exactly what the Torah expects of you. That's what the Torah wants you to do. The Ran writes, such a fascinating comment. The Ran writes, what if you have a generation where you have a Bezdin gets up and makes a psak that you're allowed to eat treif? For whatever reason, they think that this item is not treif anymore, and we all go ahead, follow the psak, we're all buying it, and we go ahead and eat the treif of food. The Ran writes, even though we know that generally when a person eats treif of food, they're going to have timtum alev, it's going to destruct their neshama or whatever it might be, it's going to cause them major problems. He says over here, by listening to the Chachamim who told you that you're allowed to eat it, who ov nechmad yoser lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to undo the fact that you listen to the Chachamim, the merit that you get for that alone is going to undo all of the terrible backlash that you would have gotten from eating the treif of food. The Ran says that it's greater that you listen to the Chachamim than that you stayed away from that treif of food. It's an incredible comment that the Ran makes, and you see that the power of the Chachamim in each generation is that they are able to lead the generation and let them know what to inform them, what the Torah meant to say, and how the Torah is meant to be translated into each and every generation. I spoke to my father recently about printing more Svarim. So I said to him, you know, you never make time to write. My father is always running around. He's turning 75 now. He's running around the world, always giving shiur everywhere. I said to him, why don't you take off a year? You're turning 75. Take off a year. Why don't you write some Svarim? You know, you never make time to write Svarim, and it's all going to be forgotten. So he said to me, look, there are some people who think that writing Svarim is the most important thing because it's going to go for a few generations. He said, who said in future generations they're going to be interested in what I have to say? Dor dor v'chachamav, every generation has its own style. Every generation has what speaks to them. Right now, this generation enjoys my style. Who said I should be taking time off from making this generation enjoy to make sure that the next generation is going to have? The next generation will have their own style. They'll enjoy whoever they want to read. And who said I should be taking off time from what I'm supposed to be doing right now and being an influence to our own generation just because of the future? This was a discussion I had with Rav Asher Weiss, and he completely disagreed, and that's why he is very much on the road of writing many, many Svarim. And my father felt that his job is to go ahead and promote the Torah to this generation as much as possible and not to worry about the future. What's going to happen in the future, the next generation of Chachamim and Talmidei Chachamim will make sure that it will have a continuation. It's a comment that the Rambam has. The Rambam writes that the same way a person who is blind doesn't feel uncomfortable when they lean on somebody else to walk them through a dark area in their mind because they don't know how to walk through life, they don't feel uncomfortable about it. In the same way we don't feel uncomfortable when we have somebody who's sick who goes and consults with a doctor and asks them, look, I don't know how to navigate this medical condition, I don't know what to do. The doctor leads them and tells them how to lead their life. So too the Rambam writes in the Geras Teman, we shouldn't feel uncomfortable when we go to a Rav and we ask them, what are we supposed to do? Even though you might be more knowledgeable in the world than the rabbi is, even though you might think that you knew greater rabbanim than this rabbi, but the Rambam says that's part of the mitzvah of Asher Yebayamimahe, that Ein Lecha, the Shofet Shebiyamecha. The Shofet Shebiyamecha is somebody that your generation is supposed to appreciate, and you're not supposed to always look at what used to be and what could have been and what should have been. You should look at what is in front of your eyes at this point in history. The Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Huttner writes, see, it's almost time for Mincha, Pachad Yitzchak writes a beautiful mashal that he said he remembers that in Europe they used to have a big clock in the center of town, and they would put the clock on a very high building. And he said he always wondered, why is it that they go and put the clock on such a high building that any time the clock breaks, they have to get ladders upon ladders upon ladders and figure out how they're going to get themselves up there to fix the clock? Why not put the clock down here in the middle of the street that everyone can use it, that everyone can see it? Why do you have to look up so high? So he said there are two reasons why we do that. Reason number one is because this way, any point in the city where you might find yourself, you can always look up to the highest building, you'll be able to see what time it is. You don't have to go to the one place in the town that has the clock on the floor, you can always look up. And secondly, he said the real reason is because, imagine if we would have the clock on the floor. So each person walks around, he has his own watch, he comes to the city's clock, to the local station, and he sees the clock is off. So he goes to the big clock, and he starts changing it. The next guy comes around, he says, well, my cell phone says it's a minute before, a minute after. Everyone's changing, changing, changing. And we're not going to know what the official, what the authentic time is anymore. And that's why we decided we have to put the clock in a place where nobody can touch it. This way, we will all have to be mat'im atzmenu. we will all have to make sure to configure ourselves to that major clock instead of configuring the clock to ourselves. So that's what Rav Huttner writes is the same problem that he sees in our generation. He says that it used to be that the Chacham, that the Marda Asr, was put up on the highest place, and he used to sit and he would learn and he would deal with only the important parts of the Rabbanas. And he said that that's the way the Talmud Chacham was, and anyone who wanted to have something to do with him would make sure that they looked up to the Talmud Chacham, they asked the Shailas, they made sure that they did whatever they could to be mat'im themselves, to be configuring themselves toward the ideals of the Talmud Chacham. He says, nowadays we put the clock in the middle of the street, and everybody comes to the Talmud Chacham and whispers in his ear, well, you really should be saying like this, and you have to understand the Ruach HaZman, you have to understand the Zeitgeist is not exactly the way you're thinking, it's not exactly the way you want it to be. And therefore he says that now the Talmud Chacham is swayed, is pulled in all the different generations, because the Talmud Chacham is B'soch HaYir. He's no longer on top of the city. He's now in the middle of the city, and he no longer has the ability to make sure that he is going to be the authoritative figure who's going to explain to everybody what the rules, what the spirit of the Torah is supposed to be. Anyway, this is what the Torah teaches us. Ein lecha l'shofet shebi amecha. To have Talmidei Chachamim in each generation is something that we are so blessed to have. And it means that even though they are not on the level of what Talmidei Chachamim used to be, and even though we may have known great Talmidei Chachamim in the past, we still have the obligation to follow the Ruach HaZman that Talmidei Chachamim set for us, and the way they interpret the Torah in their sometimes very limited knowledge, but in their understanding of what the Torah is meant to convey and what the Torah is meant to teach us.